moment of prayer before we start? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence, that we can call upon your name. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you have promised to be there. You said where two or three were gathered in your name. Oh, God, we want to enjoy your presence this morning. We want to entertain your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be with us. Oh, God. First verse, please.
When I walked temple
let's worship. Praise the Lord. 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 You can be seated if you wish. A blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in
Jesus. Why don't we applaud the Lord for His goodness this morning? What a blessed assurance we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To all the mothers, congregation, we say Happy Mother's Day. We will, in our second session, we will take special time out to celebrate our moms, and the service itself will be geared towards celebrating them. But why don't you stand to your feet, and if you have your Bibles, as we enter in the Sunday school lesson for this morning, Colossians chapter number 3. If I were to subtitle the message this morning, it would be a frequent phrase from the mouth of a mother. A frequent phrase from the mouth of a mother. And that phrase is one that is heard often around my home, in reference to, sometimes in reference to me, but sometimes in reference to my children, is simply this: what are you wearing? What are you wearing? In fact, This is something that mothers are often concerned with, especially in relation to their children. What are you wearing? What do you have on? I know, especially in reference to our boys, who really don't take much time or consideration into what they're putting on, as long as, you know, it appropriately covers, that's all really matters to them. And so often the question will be asked by my wife, what in the world are you wearing? What are you wearing? And so we're gonna look at that a little bit in Scripture, maybe in a little different way. Colossians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 8, read down through verse number 17. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What are you wearing? Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, is telling them, hey, you need to take off certain things. You need to put off certain things, and you need to put on other things. What are you wearing? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your house. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we would all, God, as we do in a natural sense, Lord, as we behold ourselves in a mirror, God, and look at what we're wearing, let us do it also in a spiritual sense, to make sure that we have adorned ourselves spiritually with those things, God, which shine forth your love, your peace, your help. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love, and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's often amazing how that it seems like everything will stop when someone is committing an act of love. When something, a form of compassion, many times those videos that we may see on social media, or the things where somebody has gone above and beyond to really show compassion and care and love, it seems to be so beautiful, so recognizable, even in the world in which we live. There was something that happened back in 2016. The New York Daily News recorded that during a 2016 tennis match in Spain, tennis star Rafael Nadal was up for a serve. Suddenly, a distraught mother interrupted the game because she had lost her young daughter. She began to yell and inquire as to where the child was. Nadal, the tennis player, stopped. He lowered his racket. He turned and faced the stands with concern on his face. For a few tense moments, the crowd was focused on finding the young child. The match was put on hold as Nadal turned and watched the drama in the stands. For what seemed like quite a long time, the mother was frantic, but the people in the stands began to look. They began to ask around, and finally the little girl was found and reunited with her mother. Applause broke out as the mother and child embraced, and with a big smile upon his face, Nadal turned back and began to play the match. The thing that is we should recognize in this sense, in a world that is self-focused and full of distracted people, when a moment of compassion or love bursts through the sameness, if you will, or the normalcy of life, it often stops us in our tracks.
We often recognize it. We often will pause whatever that we're doing and we will recognize an act of love, some sense of compassion. There is something innate in the human being that when that is displayed, when that is shown, that even in the world in which we live, we often pause and consider. We look at what happens. In a sense, love and compassion and someone acting in such a way that we could scripturally attribute to the Spirit of God is so powerful that it causes us to stop and stare. We do so in the sense and the understanding that it is special, that what someone has just in a spiritual sense, if you will, adorn themselves with in an act of love or kindness or compassion causes us to stop and stare. Should this not be the way with every true believer? Should we not on a continual basis endeavor to manifest that kind of life that causes other people to stop and stare? Should we not want to adorn ourselves with the kind of love and humility and care and compassion that would cause other people in the midst of this busy world to pause and consider what it is we're wearing? What it is that we're doing in the sense or in the act of kindness? The Apostle Paul, writing the church at Colossae, wants them to recognize and to make sure they are aware that after coming to Christ, that the believers are supposed to stop wearing old things and start wearing new things. That they are to adorn themselves time after time in the passage. The phrase is used, either put on or put off. In other words, adorn yourself with this or take that off. Don't let that be a part of your life, or let this be a part of your life. In short, the Apostle Paul is asking them, hey, consider what you are wearing. Consider the lifestyle that you are leading in front of other people. And so it is the understanding, it is the subject of the lesson here this morning, that there are things, there are adornments, and I'm not talking about in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense is what he's dealing with here. There are emotions and attitudes and practices of the past that we need to make sure we put off, that we no longer wear as a believer. There are things that were a part of our life of disobedience to the things of God that we need to make sure we never put back on. We don't ever find ourselves standing in front of a spiritual mirror realizing that we have put on some old clothes that we should have left off. Things of a former life that should never find their way back into our adornment closet, if you will. Things that were a part of who we did or who we were and what we did that are no longer a part of our life now. The things of the former life that were corrupt and based upon deceit, we are to put off. But now those things that are founded in truth, those things that will result in righteousness and holiness, those things that cause us to come out from among them and be separate and show forth the signs of a changed life, those things we are to put on. And so when someone comes to Christ, as a mother would say as she looks at her child who is wearing something grubby and say, hey, change your clothes. Change your clothes. The Apostle Paul, in his introduction and talking to the Colossian church, he uses this phrase. He says, put on as the elect of God. In other words, you are special. In other words, you are, one verse says, you are a royal priesthood. You are the elect of God. You're not just somebody else. There is a special lifestyle that should be attached to your life because of who you now are. This is not condescending to others. This is simply the understanding that as the elect of God, as those that are called out to be different, as those who are ascribing to be born again believers, then we should all understand we are the elect of God. He tells them in a racial sense or in a societal sense or even in a demographic sense, he's telling them, listen, you need to understand that all those other monikers, all those other attributes that are attributed to a life, he said, those don't mean anything anymore. Whether you're barbarian or Scythian or Greek or Jew, those things don't matter. That's not what we're focusing upon. We're not focusing upon race or color or demographic or societal differences. All we are is one in Christ Jesus. We are all one, and as one in Christ, we are the elect of God. We are, as one phrase in the Bible says, we are of the household of faith. And because they are the elect of God, they are to be called out. They are to be unified in their presentation. In other words, we should all be wearing the same thing in a spiritual sense. We should all be adorned. And so I rise on this Sunday morning to ask you, what are you wearing? You walk outside these walls, and I'm not talking about in a natural adornment sense. I'm not talking about what kind of name brand or whether your suit fits just right or your tie is tied correctly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about whether your clothes match. But what I'm talking about is what you adorn yourself with out there match what we talk about and teach about in here. People of God are redeemed with the same blood and are recipients of the same grace because we are His, we are holy, we are set apart, we are dedicated to God, and therefore we are the elect of God. That's why we should not consider, there should be no such thing as racial divisions in the church. There should be no such thing as societal divisions within the church. It doesn't matter rich or poor. It doesn't matter size. It doesn't matter color. None of those things matter. What matters, am I wearing what I should be wearing as the elect of God? Have I put on those things that the Bible tells me I should put on? And have I put off the things the Bible says I should put off? Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 22 through 24 reads like this: that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can I say it another way? When you come to God, you change your clothes. What are you wearing? What am I as the elect of God? What am I as a born-again believer wearing in my life? What kind of attitude am I wearing? What kind of emotions am I wearing? How do I speak to other people? How do I represent myself? Because I'm not just representing me. I should be representing the elect of God. God forbid. Let me just say this. God forbid that I would go outside the walls of this church and represent myself in a manner that is not consistent with the teachings of this church. And ever, if you do, please don't tell them where you go to church. If you want to act the fool, act the fool. That's between you and God. But please don't say you belong to this congregation. Because we, as a body of believers, we all need to be one. And we don't need people out there in the community acting the fool and then saying they belong to this congregation. Maybe I just got off on a little bit. But what I do want is people from this congregation out there wearing love and wearing peace and wearing humility and wearing meekness and wearing long-suffering. I want us to be out in the community representing what we should be wearing in a spiritual sense. The Bible lets us know that when someone is born again, they are regenerated, and that regeneration should give unto us and provide unto us the attributes of the nature of God. And therefore, we should put on certain things. Should put on one of the things it says that we should put on bowels of mercy. It's another way of saying tender mercies. It speaks to having deep compassion on those who are afflicted, impoverished, or distressed. We should be doing our part as believers to make sure we are merciful. We are tender to those who are afflicted. We are looking for opportunity to manifest that we are different, that we are wearing mercy. Put on bowels of mercy. Put on kindness. This refers to moral goodness and integrity. It speaks of having a sweet disposition and benevolence towards others. If I'm easily angered, if I put on anger a lot easier than I put on kindness, I need to make sure I get back in the presence of God and say, Lord, help me. Help me put off anger and wrath and malice. Help me put off those things that would incorrectly represent who you are. That would not show your nature, Lord. And please empower me with what I need to put on kindness. And if I'm quick, if I'm swift to wrath instead of slow to wrath, Lord, help me. Help me to put on kindness, to put on goodness and integrity. To have a sweet disposition to those so that they recognize there is a difference that comes through you. And then another thing it tells us to adorn ourselves with, put on humility. Humbleness of mind means humility and modesty. It speaks of having a deep sense of one's own dependence upon God. It gets pride out of the situation. It takes pride out of the picture. It is simply a humble and modest spirit in the sense that I don't become easily angered, and I am humble, and I am willing to work, and I am willing to do those things which will cause reconciliation and restoration in the heart and lives of other people, because we all have a dependence upon God. But for the grace of God, so go I. And I understand that. In that humility and in that understanding, I have no confidence in my flesh. But my confidence comes in a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. And through His power in my life, I put on humility. Another thing it says we are to wear is meekness. Gentleness, mildness. It includes holding back from retaliating when others have provoked or injured. But they did me wrong, Pastor. They did something they shouldn't have done, and it caused anger to rise up in my life. Be careful what you're putting on in the presence, because it's indicating who you truly serve. And if I'm truly serving God, even when they do things against me, even when they do things that make me mad, even when my feathers get ruffled, I still understand I have to put on meekness. I have to be humble enough to not put on the garments of anger and wrath, but put on rather the garment of meekness. And then it says, put on long suffering. This means patience and endurance. Well, how many times if they do stuff against me or they make me mad? How many times? As Peter asked the question of the Lord, Lord, seven times? Is that enough? Do I, at that point, can I no longer be meek? Can I no longer be humble? They mess up seven times. Do I say that's enough? The Lord says, oh no, Peter, 70 times seven. In other words, you'll lose count. You know, it's not how many times. It's the fact that I put on something, that I'm wearing something different from the rest of the world. No matter how many times I'm wrong, no matter how many times they do stuff against me, I'm long-suffering. I've put on that garment. And then it says, forbearing one another. Oh, and how we need to forbear one another. It means to be lenient and patiently bear up one another under their burdens or their present offenses. It means forbear. Because guess what? While we are all one in Christ, we do all have different personalities. And we do all have differences of opinion at times. And we do all have differences of culture and differences of experience. We have all been socialized differently, if you will. Our experiences are different. And so we have to, according to the Word of God, we have to be able to put on forbearance. We have to be able to understand that I don't come from the same place you come from. And my experiences aren't your experiences. And your perspective isn't often my perspective. But guess what? We'll forbear one another. We'll be lenient and we'll be patient. And we'll put on these things that will help us deal with one another. Forgiving one another, it says, deals with granting grace for trespasses and offenses, as well as for any fault finding or complaining. I forgive. I'm a forgiving person. Oh, that I would understand the importance of being a forgiving person, where I don't hold a grudge, where I don't have angst against others, where I truly forgive and move forward. I don't hold their trespasses against them. As I stated a few weeks ago, we love and forgive because we are loved and forgiven. We manifest these things to others because these things have been manifested to us. Because our God is long-suffering. Because our God forbears us. For our God loves us. For our God has mercy and kindness towards us. For our God humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because we serve Him, we seek to wear His nature. We seek to adorn ourselves with those things that represent who He is. And so we put on mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. We forbear one another. And we forgive one another. So we don't look to find faults. We don't look to pick each other apart and devour one another. No, we seek to encourage and strengthen and upgird one another. We seek to lift one another up. You see, I want to be wearing the things that indicate that I am a believer, and I want my brothers and sisters to be wearing the things that indicate they are a believer. And so I forbear you, and you forbear me, and I forgive you, and you forgive me, and I'm humble towards you, and you're humble towards me, and I'm meek, and you're meek, and together we're all one. We're all wearing the same thing. We're all seeking to put on the nature of God. And live a life that shows who we serve. In a sense, are we all wearing the same jersey? To what we do in our daily living, does it show that we're all on the same team? Does it show that we're all in this together, that we're all seeking to wear the same thing in the sense of what it is spiritually to be a believer? And then he says this, above all, put on charity. Put on love. And above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It holds it all together. It's that one piece, if you will, that brings it all into play. It's that one piece that causes all these things to work as they should. It is that one thing that brings the whole outfit together. It's that love. Above all these things, put on charity. I stated a few weeks ago, I'll state it again, if there is anything that should cause us to be branded as believers, it is the love manifested in our lives. Love should be the brand. Love should be the symbol. If we're all on the same team, love should be the logo on the jersey. We should all be wearing love. Say, well, if that's the case, and why was it not first on Paul's list? I'll tell you the reason why. In the same way that when he talks about the armor of God, he identifies above all putting on the shield of faith, or above all having, because he's saying, listen, all this ties it together. I mention it last because it is the piece which brings it all into play. It is the belt to which everything else is attached. And if you lose that belt of love, then the other pieces start falling away. Above all these things, put on charity. The Apostle Paul presented love as covering or being that which comes together with all the other items as to what a believer should wear. That's why he says that it is the bond of perfectness. Love unites all the other virtues and makes them complete. Any spiritual gift put in operation or Christian quality that is expressed without love is incomplete and imperfect. Apostle Paul, writing in Corinthians, said this, if we have not love, we are a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. All these other things, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all knowledge, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, though I have all these things, and but if I have not love, then all these things really are incomplete and imperfect. Without love, any attempt at virtue in God's eyes is hypocritical at best. For love is the thread that should weave through every aspect of what we wear. It should represent His nature. It should present those believers who are wanting to become more like Him. It's amazing how that when people in secular sense have a hero many times, maybe it's a sports figure, maybe it's somebody they idolize, it's amazing how many times they will seek to dress like that individual or wear that individual's clothes. Should it not be the same in a spiritual sense? If He truly is our hero, and we are truly Christians, the very understanding of the word is to be Christ-like. And though we really don't have any understanding of what He looked like or really what He wore in a natural sense, we certainly do in a spiritual sense. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, delivering. He was the absolute embodiment of love. I'll say that again. He was the absolute embodiment of love. And so you and I need to ask ourselves, what are we wearing? So he goes on to say this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, when you come together, when we come together in the house and when we begin to sing and we begin to praise and we begin to worship, let love be what causes us to allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly, where we manifest these things in what we say and what we do. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If ever I'm going to be in immaculate clothing, if ever I am to, in the Spirit, dress like royalty, and if I am ever going to put on the nature of my Savior, then I got to put on mercy, and I got to put on kindness and meekness and humility and long-suffering. I got to forbear and forgive. But most of all that ties in with love. A frequent phrase from the mouth of a mother, what are you wearing? Can we, in the same sense, as a mother church, ask the question to those who ascribe to be believers, what are you wearing? Last night I had the opportunity to take my daughter to a daddy-daughter event. We're there. I snapped a photo of her and sent it to my wife. My wife, her mother, replied, "That's really cute. Can you tell her to take her jacket off?" Because a mother cares about what we're wearing. He says, do this. He said, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, recognize that there's someone who is concerned with what you're wearing. Lord, I want to wear what you would have me to wear. I want to represent you. as I walk through the community, as I interact with others, have opportunity to meet people on the street or in the store, Lord, let me be wearing what I should be wearing. The spiritual sense that it would appeal to them, that they would see, feel, and interact with love. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. Here in a few moments, our classes are going to be returning and we'll go into our second session. But can we, for the next few moments, whether in our pew or around the front, can we take some time? Can we look in the spiritual mirror? Can we ask the question, what am I wearing? What kind of attitude do I manifest outside these walls? How do I interact with others? It's so very important. What are you wearing?
I want to live the way.